Bear with me today. I've got a number of scriptures that I want to share with you. But for those of you who are taking notes, if you want to jot down the reference to them and go back and study them at yourself, it will help you not only with your belief system, but also whenever people come to you with questions, then you will have already experienced the answers before they ever ask the questions. And you'll be able to lead them through just as the way the Holy Spirit is leading you through the message today. And that's my prayer. Because He leads us into all truth, shows us things to come, and He gives us the power and the strength and the wisdom and knowledge to operate in the Christian life victoriously 24/7, 365. So, the first scripture that we're going to go to will be in Romans 1 and 16 and 17. Now, keep in mind, this is the foundation for the Christian life. Of course, you know His name is Jesus, but we're talking about some belief system adjustments that many of us either have already made or we need to make in order for the Christian life to be lived out fully and completely. So in Romans 1, we're going to start with verse 16. And some of you already know this verse. You probably memorized it. All those with phones, bear with me, okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just are those who are justified, are those who have been made righteous, live by faith. So what is it saying here? It's talking about righteousness. And most people, whenever you say righteous, that's a righteous person. What do you think about first? If you're like me, I used to think actions, lifestyle, what they do, what comes out of their mouth. Demonstrate to me that you're righteous. That was the thing that would pop out in my mind. Now, is that the same way that God thinks about this? It's not, is it? So what he's saying here, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? It's multifaceted. I call it a box that has all these goodies in it. Everything from being able to live the God kind of life on this earth, to have intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so much so that He has declared us one with Him, inseparable, forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In the health realm, He says that I have paid for your healing and health in what Christ Jesus did 2,000 years ago. By His stripes you were healed. As far as providing for your financial needs, He says, I became poor that you might be made rich. Rich is to have, to give to every good work. On and on and on. It's a whole bunch of different things that He says that He has blessed us with. And He called it our inheritance in Christ Jesus. And that word salvation means everything. It's already been provided. It's a spiritual thing that has been provided just for you personally. And you can draw on this spiritual inheritance. And that's what we're talking about. The foundation for being able to draw on that is what we're talking about right now. For in it, it says in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, the gospel reveals to us a different definition of righteousness. Is that what it's saying? Yeah. Because he wants to define things so we can understand it. So what is righteousness?
Right standing
with God. It means that you can stand in His presence. Literally, you can stand in His presence, not be slain and, you know, down on the floor and grovel. But you can stand there because He sees you as right, having His attributes, having His ways, having His character. Now, I know for many of you that have been raised up in the fear of God, there is, but there's a reverence there. And I'm not saying that we should not be reverent. He is Almighty God. But more than that, because of what Jesus did, we can come into His presence without fear. We can worship Him, and that's how Jesus translated the word fear. Whenever He talked about fear Him, He said we can worship Him, and that's what He would desire. But the thing is, we don't have to be afraid because we know that God is love. And He's our daddy. We sang about it this morning, Abba Father, Abba Daddy, Daddy God. Because we have been born into His family, a spiritual birth into God's family. And Jesus says that He's not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like you're saying we're equal with Jesus. I'm just telling you what the Word says. That it says that God sees us exactly the same way in the Spirit. And we need to see ourselves that same way too.
Amen.
Because it's truth. He said, but you don't know what I've done. Well, God does. But He loves you anyway. And that has been dealt with. If it was sin, it's been dealt with 2,000 years ago. In the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That sin has already been punished. Well, how can He do that? He did it once for all men. For all time. He'd have to go back to the cross again if it wasn't included in the future. He says He's perfected us forever. In Hebrews, that's what it says. We've been perfected forever in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He has done it on our behalf.
Yes.
And I was looking at that from faith to faith. And that's what I believe that today's message is going to be about. Because the Jews were under a different covenant than we are now. They were under a covenant with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, and that covenant was based upon their behavior. You do this, I'll bless you with that. You don't do this, you're going to be cursed with this. And it spelled it out. Deuteronomy 28 does a good job of laying things out. And a few verses had to do with the blessings and a whole bunch of verses had to do with the curses. So, in today, you say, well, we're not Jews. We're not under that law. That's exactly right. But we're exposed to the elemental things of the earth, which is do good, get good, do bad, get beat. It's the same thing. It's a works mentality that I'm rewarded for only if I do good. And I get the curses, or I get fired, or I get demoted, or whatever, if I don't perform up to a certain level that I'm expected to. So we are under that same mentality that Adam put all mankind in whenever he was in the garden. I know good, I know evil, and I'll decide. I'll choose how to live my life, separate from God, because I got plenty of sins, and I know how to live, and I can handle it. But he didn't. He hid from God after that. Our daddy had to go looking for him and say, where are you? It's like he didn't know where he was. But Adam said, I was afraid. Who you been talking to? So he drew him out. He didn't shun Adam. Adam felt unworthy to be in God's presence any longer. Because of what he did. He tried to make it without God. And it affected that relationship. It wasn't on God's part. Because God had said, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And I think it means in dying, you will die, because it took him a long time to die physically. But the relationship that they had died, literally. So today, we need to see that there are different covenants. And let me give you an example. Say you're in sales. Anybody in here a salesman? Oh, we got everybody in here is a salesman. If you're married, you sold yourself on that wife or that husband, right? You did. You put your best foot forward. You dressed nice. If they said, "Oh, this perfume smells good," you wore that all the time. You know, you ladies. I know how it works. I did a real good sale job, didn't I? In fact, I did such a good job. She said to one of her girlfriends after I first met her at the PX at a military post, she said, "I'm going to marry that man." Aww. And it happened. I ran until I got caught. But let me see, where was I? We're talking about... in the garden, everything went awry, but the Lord continued dealing with man, because it says that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the earth. So that was the plan, to bring mankind into the ultimate relationship of intimacy, of oneness with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was always on God's heart. Because He is love. And love expresses itself in that oneness of desiring for another human being to have everything that affects their life in victory, of oneness, of fullness, fulfillment in life, of happiness and joy and peace, and all these things that are good that people are seeking for everywhere in the world today. But until they meet Jesus, they won't find it. They've tried substituting everything. But until they have a go-to-meeting with Jesus, they won't experience it. And so we have a key today that we can help them with. And one is to get them started on a good and perfect foundation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, from faith to faith... If you look at the faith that the Jewish people had, it was in their ability to perform. Because whenever they were faced with, God's given us some commandments. Oh, give it to us. We can do it. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. We don't want to have Him as our head. We'd rather have a man to lead us. But you tell us what to do and we can do it. And that was their downfall. Their faith was in themselves. It's called self-righteousness in the Scriptures. They believed that they could do it of their own power, natural man power, to perform in order to receive all the blessings that God had for them. You do this, you get that. So it's like, okay... That mentality still goes forth today, even though the law was given to the Jews, who were God's chosen people. And I'm not talking bad about them. The Lord gave them His oracles. We have this Bible because He was revealed through the Jewish nation. But you see, when that second covenant, the new covenant, came into existence, that covenant was not between man and God like it was whenever it was given originally. But it came through Jesus Christ. It was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And His perfect work is what set up this new covenant. And it was between God-man, Jesus, and between His Heavenly Father. Now, can God lie?
No.
No. Can Jesus lie?
No.
No. Can either one of them die?
No.
No. So, they can't lie, they can't die. So, will that new covenant ever be dissolved or annulled?
No.
No. Now, the original covenant, the Old Testament covenant with the Jewish people, could it pass away?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because it may be between man and God, and that's debatable. But the thing is, it was dependent upon man's performance. Mm-hmm. And the Word says that even the Jews, even the best of the Jews, never could perform everything in the Old Testament law. And of course, some of the scribes and the Pharisees argue with Jesus about that. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, let me give you a test. Have you ever looked at a woman to lust after her? Then you're guilty of adultery. Instead of an outward act, he put it back into thought process and said, okay, if you've ever been angry with your brother for no cause, you're a murderer according to the law. He took it from an outward act to an inward thought, said, okay, now, have you obeyed the law? No one has, only Jesus. And so it's been fulfilled. The old covenant law has been fulfilled. The performance thing is not for us today. It's not for us. It wasn't to begin with, and it isn't now. So why have people adopted that? Because they haven't obeyed this verse. It said that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith from self-righteousness to faith righteousness in what Christ Jesus has done. That's the only way we can be righteous. Because self-righteousness is not acceptable in God's sight. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So righteousness is not, in God's definition, behavior. It's a gift. And we'll see that as we go through the scriptures that I have out today. Hopefully I'm laying enough groundwork where we're thinking on the same plane. Because this has caused so many people to stumble. And some people have actually thought that they weren't even saved at all because they based their righteousness upon their thought life, what came out of their mouth, and their actions. And they disqualified themselves from even receiving what God had for them because they didn't think that they were righteous anymore. Because their whole life was built upon self-righteousness, not the gift of righteousness that only He can give us in Christ. So, from faith in self to faith in Christ, I believe is what he's talking about here. So we need to change the focus from mankind and what he can do to what's already been done by Christ Jesus on mankind's behalf. Change that whole focus, and that changes the whole definition of righteousness, of right standing with God, of being right, of doing right, of thinking right. All these things that are attributed to the nature and the acts of God, to be like Him. And we already are when we accept Christ in our spirit, because we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. The other, the soul and the body, is renewed through the Word. Whenever you understand who you are in Christ, things get better. Because our identity is in Him and Him alone and not what we do or don't do. So taking that first step is really important. And if you're stepping off of that firm foundation, then the other building blocks on that firm foundation will be there. And it won't crumble. The life that you build upon that will not crumble if it's built on the righteousness that God has given us in Christ Jesus. It's called faith righteousness. Now, let's go on to Romans 3, 21 through 33. says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a mouthful. That's a good mouthful too. So he's saying here, righteousness apart from the law, it's no longer put with the law of behavior. The definition is no longer that definition. It's placed with what? What is it placed with?
Faith.
Right. It's placed with faith and faith alone. Now, are you saying that I can go act like the devil and God's pleased with that? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this is an inside job. Faith is an inside thing that happens in a person's heart, kind of an overlap of the spirit and the soul. But it's a belief system is what it is. And whenever something happens there, that, and we've talked about that in here before, the heart is like a womb, and the seed that you place in it will give birth outwardly, and it will manifest in your life. So if you're putting truth in, then you'll be able to actually walk in truth of what the gospel says about you. If you put that truth in, because the word is a seed. Go back and read Mark 4, and he'll tell you about the seed. And the seed is a good seed. But if the soil of the heart that it's being put in, if it's got a whole lot of weeds in there, they'll choke it out. That's what it says. That it didn't take root, this, that, and the other. But he says, a person that has a good heart, that seed will grow up and it will multiply and it'll manifest itself 30, 40, 60 fold, 100 fold. Okay? So it will manifest itself in bearing like seed. Just like that seed that was placed in there, whatever it was supposed to be, whenever it was full grown, that's what it manifests in a person's life. So the truth of it is, right here, he's saying that the truth about righteousness in the new covenant is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He's saying the law and the prophets are a witness to this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not something to be earned any longer. Right standing with God comes only by faith. This is the new covenant. Only by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. It says in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now that word, grace, we've talked a lot about it. Charis, the Bible college is named after it. We've talked about it being unearned favor. God's favor upon our lives. There's another definition that was used in here, divine influence upon the heart and its effect in the life. There's another way to look at it is God's ability being placed into us to give us His ability. God's ability being placed into us to give us His ability to live out the righteous life. So, He has made us righteous because of what Jesus has done. He's given it to us as a gift. So we need to be in line with the truth that righteousness, as God defines it, is being right with Him through only faith in what Jesus has done on our behalf. In Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go ahead and cut loose on this now. I can't hold back it anymore. We've talked about this in here before. A lot of people have taken that word faith, grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and they said, okay, well, I got to work it up. I got to work up this faith thing. You know, I got to recite the scriptures. I got to memorize, I got to do this and that and the other. And I can get God to give me what I need if I just faith it enough. If I just say it enough, if I just command and demand and rebuke and, you know, all these things that people have in their minds made up about what faith actually is. It's really just believing what His Word says about who He is and who you are in Him. And Abraham said he became fully persuaded and he believed. So he was persuaded by what the Word says about what Jesus has done on your behalf. And he accepted that as, that's for me. I'll receive that. And it says that he was accounted righteous because of that. Faith alone. Abraham. Father Abraham. So he wasn't relying upon anything to make him righteous except believing what God had said. Period. Now, today we're no different. We receive that gift of righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to say this and I want you to hear it. A lot of people, including myself, used to, I thought I had to have faith for everything. After I received Christ as my Savior, I had to have faith for healing. I had to have faith for prosperity. I had to have faith for deliverance. I had to have all this stuff. I put it all about what I could come up with to get God to release it to me. Here's a newsflash. It's all been released to you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have to wring God's arm and behind His back try to give it. You know, it's already been given in Christ Jesus. He said it's yours. You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whenever you said, Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. I can't do it on my own. I need You. I know that You died for me. You took my sin. You dealt with it, and you remember it no more. You decided. You made a decision. Jesus was punished for it. Thank You, Father, that You don't see me in sin as a sinner any longer, because I'm in Christ now. And You see me just as You see Him, righteous and holy, sanctified, all these big words. That's how You see me now.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Because it's a gift that can only be received by believing in Him, that this is true and I receive it for myself. So on that basis alone, that same faith that you received His gift with is the package again, the salvation package. You got it all. But I believe I'm supposed to have faith for all these things because it hadn't showed up yet. And that's what somebody told me. Was it the Holy Spirit that told you that? Now, let me explain this. Jesus had His faith is what produced all of this inheritance. He was in a human body, but His spirit was one with God and the Holy Spirit. But He lived in a body. He became God, man. Whenever you got born again, this is how it is. You became man, God. You're inhabited by God. You just came from a different starting point, so to speak, on this earth. You became just like Him. You were born into His family. And He's not ashamed of you to call you brother and sister. So, Jesus' faith is what we're believing in. We believe in Jesus says that we believe His faith for prosperity, His faith for sins being forgiven, His faith for deliverance from the demonic realm, His faith for everything in this life that we live today and for the rest of our eternity lives.
Amen. Wow.
It's because we believe in Christ Jesus that He has done it all.
Yes.
There's nothing left for us to do other than, if you want to call it doing, believing, well, okay. But it's not an action other than believing. You allowed Him to persuade you of the Scriptures that He is who He says He is. And He will make Himself known to you.
Amen.
As you open yourself up to Him.
Right.
Now, I'm hearing some of you talk now. What about James? Faith without works is dead. Okay, we'll cover that now. What is he talking about? He's talking about the definition of grace. Right? Now, the definition that I gave you a while ago is the ability, God's ability coming in as a gift by grace through faith. And it allows us to live the God kind of life because we have supernatural ability now, because it's His power in us that gives us the ability to live the God kind of life. Now, James is just saying, if you don't see this change, then was this person's faith real? Because the definition is linked together, cause and effect. He's just saying, I'm just checking the effect down here, and if the effect ain't here, then that definition's wrong, or else you ain't got faith. That's what he's saying. I hope you can accept that. Because that's what the word is. And James was looking at it from the Jewish perspective, okay? But it's a good perspective because he's just a fruit inspector. A good tree will bear good fruit. That's what the word says. And it's effortless fruit. You don't have to work it up because it's God's ability through you that produces that fruit in your life. Have you ever? I got an apple tree in my backyard. You know, I've been out there looking at that thing, and the birds have it bald, the deer, and the squirrels are toting them off left and right. They're not even ripe yet. Oh, I might get one or two, but anyway, it'll be good. But have you ever looked at a tree? Have you ever seen a tree straining to bear fruit? It's effortless, isn't it? The tree was designed to bear fruit, to bear apples. It's programmed to do that. It's in the seed that it came from. And it bears that fruit of who it is in a way that's natural. It comes natural. No effort. It just comes. And God says, that's the same way with you. You are literally grafted in to His tree. His strength, His sap runs through your veins, so to speak. And it produces that fruit effortlessly out in the branches. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's what He's talking about. When you plugged into me, you're going to bear good fruit. But if you unplug from me, you'll bear fruit that's not mine. So He's saying, you're plugged into Him whenever you're born again into His family. And so you can bear His fruit in your life. The God kind of fruit. And that fruit is not only a blessing to others, but it's a blessing to you. You get to be a fruit bearer without, I got to get this done. Oh, I got to work. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, this church thing, man. I have to be there when the doors open. I have to be there when the doors close. I got to close the doors and lock up. Oh, anybody been an usher in here? What's an usher? Always an usher, right? But, I'm not an usher anymore. Amen. But it's not a work. That fruit just comes out because that's who you are in Him. And He's bearing His fruit through you. Whew. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
No sweat.
No sweat. Amen. Let's go to Romans 9. I tried to go in order here. I wouldn't have to flip so many pages. Romans 9. And let's see. Verse 30. So what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Good question. Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Now we're talking about a foundation, right? Foundations have stone in them. Even the concrete has stone in it. It's ground up. Now, anybody ever seen a cornerstone in a building? They usually have some things carved into it to commemorate the construction of that building. And back in Jesus' day, they picked out what they described as a perfect and beautiful stone that would be like, this is going to set off, when people come up and they see this, it's going to set off the rest of that building to know that there was a lot of good stuff that was placed in this. And this building is structurally sound and it's beautiful to look at too. So it's like that light that comes down and shines directly on something and draws your attention to it. So they were picking this cornerstone and they thought in their eyes, these Jews, Jesus can't be that. He's not good looking. He's not something we want to put out front. He doesn't fit in with us, that type of attitude. So it says to them he was a stumbling stone.
That's good. Wow.
They stumbled over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because they were so busy trying to make righteous their lives by doing to earn God's good graces. So their focus was inward instead of Godward. So they missed the whole point whenever Jesus came along. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Jacob talked about that a few Sundays ago. It's one of those things where they weren't looking with an open belief system to what are you saying here to me. So they didn't want Jesus being the cornerstone of the foundation of their life. They wanted their own ability. I know good, I know evil, and I'll make my decision. I'll be like God by what I decide. I don't even need him. But I want his blessing so I can earn it. That was that thought mentality. So he became a stumbling block. And the question today is Jesus still a stumbling block in the church? Yeah. Because people still have that elemental foundation of do good, get good, do bad, get beat. They think that they can earn it. I can earn God's blessings. Some places teach that you get in the door, you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by believing Christ, but after that, the only way you can get blessed is by doing. And they have a whole list for you to do, too. They recruit workers. But the thing is that God's definition of righteousness is, and only is, you can have this gift by faith in Christ alone. You'll hear that a number of more times as we go. So it says, why that they didn't attain righteousness was because they did not seek it by faith, but by the works of the law. If we're trying to do right, to be right, in order to live the Christian life, we're missing the whole point. You have already become right or righteous in God's sight by simply believing that in Christ Jesus it has been made available to you. You just receive it by saying, Jesus is my all in all. I can't earn it by the way I act or not act or think or speak. I can only receive it by trusting in Him. In Him alone. I can't add anything to it, take anything away from it. I want you to hear me. Nothing needs to be added to what Jesus has done. Either he did it all or he didn't do it at all. He is the key for the Christian life, period.
Yes.
And if our trust is in, not for, in any other thing, including our ability, it's not going to work. You're not going to have the God kind of results. And I know this from personal experience. Whenever I've gotten my self-will into things, it sure messes things up. And I think about, oh man, how can this ever get straightened out? But see, he's the God of miracles. So if that's where you are today, it's okay. Right where you are, he can take you from where you are. He has a GPS. Did y'all know that? Whenever we're off in the wrong direction, you can hear him say, recalculating, recalculating. And he's got a plan for you to get back on track. Amen? So the doing thing is through his ability flowing through us, not our ability to prove to God that he can bless us with certain things. Amen? So, let's go on to the next scripture. Romans 10, 2 through 4. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, this is Jews, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. There it is. They didn't understand the definition in the new covenant. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, self-righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Who was it that sang that song, I'll Do It My Way?
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, yeah. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. I want that ingrained in the message today. I hopefully have done that. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. If you want to go with self-effort alone, then that's how you live. But you will not receive the benefit of God flowing through you, producing the fruit in your life. It was only self-willed fruit from anything other than allowing Him to flow through you to produce His fruit in your life. Bear with me, we've only got a few more scriptures. Let's go to Galatians. Now, you know Galatians is where Paul beat up on people.
Yeah.
He took the gloves off. Galatians 2, and we'll start with 15. And this is who Paul is talking to here. It says, we, including himself, are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith. And it says in Christ, but some translations say the faith of Christ. And that goes back to what we talked about, faith in and faith for. Our faith is in the faith of Christ to produce everything. It's all about Him. Amen. That we might be justified by faith, the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Is that clear? No flesh shall be justified. You cannot be justified means that just as if I'd never sinned. And it's the groundwork for to make you righteous. Whenever you are justified, then you become righteous. And it's sin. That no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. You can't work it up. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. It's saying, if you were in this law environment, if you made it all about your self-righteousness, and Christ came into your life and changed everything, and you believe Him as Savior, you accepted Him, and you started living the Christian life, But if you went back in and started doing sacrifices again, of trusting in your ability to perform to receive God's blessings, he said, you've missed it. You've missed it. Big time. So he's warning as to how this has occurred in their lives. And I know his heart was broken whenever he was writing to these people, because he invested his life in many of these people that have turned back to the law. There's many in the church today that have done that. And it's a sad situation. And I'm not just talking about those that have gone to the mixture of law and grace and then the Messianic church. I'm not just talking about those. Let's go to Galatians 5 and explain Paul's heart a little bit more. Galatians 5, 2 through 4. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, this is saying that perform the law, is what he's saying. It could be a number of different things you could put in there other than the circumcision, but this is what they chose to try to get the Judaizers, is what they were called, to get people back under the law again. Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. He said, if you want to obey it in one part, you're back under the law completely. And in order to live the kind of blessed life that you want to live through it, then you need to go ahead and do the whole law then. If you're going to try in one part to get something from God by behavior. By obedience. It says, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now those are scary words whenever you first look at it, but it's not as bad as what I thought it was at first glance. Christ would profit me nothing. What is that going to do? If he doesn't profit me anything, I don't have anything. Well, is saying that you may have received Christ as Savior, but if you turn back to the law, you're turning your back on Christ and you're trying to do it your way, so you have limited Him in your life. You have limited Him. Now, what was the definition of grace that we said earlier? Is God's ability being placed in us so that He is the one who is able to give you the ability to live the God kind of life. What these people have done, going back to the law, saying, well, you know, Christ is over here, yeah, but we're going to go back over here. They're saying that Christ wasn't enough. We have to add to it and do our thing over here just to make sure that we get what we think we need. Because we know better than what Christ said. So, whenever it says that Christ will profit you nothing, and then down here at the bottom it says you have fallen from grace. The grace definition that I gave you is you really capped off God's ability in your life. Because I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to use my strength, my abilities, my wisdom, my understanding. I'm going to do everything through what I can do. And I'll show you all, including God, that I can do it. That's that arrogant attitude that he says was coming forth. And so you have actually, well, the people that have done this have actually blocked off God's ability flowing through their lives. That's what this thing, you have fallen from grace, means, that you have fallen from his ability flowing through you because you won't allow him to anymore. Because you're trying to go at this salvation thing and living the Christian life out of your own ability, out of your own strength. And whenever you do that, you shut him out. He cannot flow the way he wants to through you. So you're going to have the results of that, which is a self-righteousness fruit, which is what man can produce, and that's it. So we got one more scripture, and then we'll call it quits. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Now remember, we're talking about foundations here. The foundation for the Christian life. The foundation for the Christian life. Verse 42 of Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" Jesus is the cornerstone. And the gift of righteousness which He has made available to us because of everything that He's done at His life, His death, and the resurrection, He has offered the gift of righteousness in right standing with His Heavenly Father, with Him, and with the Holy Spirit as a gift to you to receive by just believing in Him. And He says, the Christian life, because of My grace in you, will bloom forth and bear fruit because My word, My seed, will bear fruit in you. And truth will bear all this out. So He's saying, just trust Me. And you'll see a much better life than what you're trying to do on your own. And it's true. He is truthful in every respect because He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You that You have selected us to draw us to Yourself, that Your Holy Spirit has worked in our lives to bring us to a point of commitment to You and to You alone. Thank You, Father, that You have given us a lot of abilities. But Lord, we know that in our abilities, we're very limited. But in Your ability, Your grace flowing through us, we're unlimited. So Father, we thank You right now for drawing us into Yourself through Jesus Christ and what He's done. Lord, we thank You for the gift of righteousness, of being able to come and be in Your presence, to just bask in Your presence, to feel Your love. Just pour out on us to enjoy that fellowship and intimacy with You for all eternity. But we can have it today. It's been made available by what Jesus did. Father, we thank You that You sought us out. We didn't even have to seek You. You draw us to Yourself. You're a good God. Thank You, Abba Father. Thank You, Daddy. You're awesome. Father, we just thank You today for who You are. Thank You for the love that You poured out on us. And thank You for the good days that You see in our future. Thank You for Your guidance. And thank You for Your power working through us to produce that fruit of righteousness that we received as a gift. And to bless us and all those around us with that gifting. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.